And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today, I'm telling you, the power of prophecy is going to be revealed. To those who have ears to hear, oh my, you're going to hear some things today that you never imagined could occur in our lifetimes. You know, I'm sure every generation believes it's the last generation. That is every generation of true Bible-believing Christians. It seems that God has brought to every generation certain signs, but these are accelerated in these last days. There's no doubt about that. Everything seems to be happening at once. We can barely keep track of it. The world events, the economic debacles, wars and rumors of wars that Jesus told us would occur. Just read Matthew 23 through 25 to see the amazing wonders there, especially Matthew chapter 24. Certainly we have these wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places, and we're going to see more such things. We had global warming, and now the scientists are telling us that for the last 7 or 8 years we've had global cooling. And now they don't know what to do. They're perplexed. They're bewildered. Well, today we're going to try to take away a little bit of the fog. We're going to disperse the fog and the mist, and we're going to see if we cannot see clearly to the last days, even to the great battle of Armageddon. You know, some years ago, this ministry was audited by the IRS, and of course everything was fine financially, but the IRS could not understand what gives you the authority to talk about the end of the world. They actually asked me that question. Well, the Bible gives us the authority to talk about the end of the world. Why would the IRS be interested in that? Maybe they're afraid they're going to be one of the ones thrown into the great lake of fire in the last days. Well, we're going to be talking about some subjects today, and you'll be amazed. And it all has to do with today's headlines. George Bush, our president, recently went over to Israel. Then Dick Cheney and John McCain and Senator Joseph Lieberman. And, of course, we have this week meeting in Great Britain. The president of France, Sarkozy, a Jew, a Hungarian Jew, but he's president of France. And it's all the scandal because I saw him on the news this morning, Sarkozy and his new bride. He got a divorce recently, married another woman he'd been having an affair with and married her. They got off the plane. At the same time, they released a totally naked photo of her that's making the rounds on the Internet. So his naked wife shows up coming down the boardwalk of the airplane. And what is Sarkozy over there for? Well, they know something big is fixing to happen, and they're all plotting together, the Western nations. The chief of the West, though, in fact, let's just say the chief prince of the West is George W. Bush. And evidently some big boys have told him what to do. We're going to get to all of this, and we're even going to get to the Battle of Armageddon and some events involving a demon, but very possibly a demon that possesses a man, and his name scripturally is Gog, from the land of Magog. And then there's the biblical warning about a chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Oh my, we're into it really deep today, aren't we? Well, let's see if we can separate some things. I believe some incredible things are going to happen unless God confounds the leaders of this world and gives us more time. I want Jesus Christ to come right away. I really do. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But on the other hand, God is very merciful, long-suffering, and he wants so many people into his kingdom. And perhaps he will linger a while longer and allow us to continue to preach the truth and be good enough and merciful enough to the people of this planet to give them just a little bit more time, or at least time when they demonstrate they're not worthy of his kingdom. You know, the whole reason for preaching is not only to save people's soul, but believe it or not, one of the byproducts of preaching is that a great majority will reject the truth, and so they will be damned. They will instead be taken over, consumed by a strong delusion. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And they will not believe the truth. They will reject it, and consequently they will be damned. So anytime you preach to somebody and they laugh and they ridicule you, don't be discouraged, dear friend. So many people write to me and say, I tell people the truth, but they act like I've got a head made out of cabbage. They think I'm an idiot. Well, so what? They will always think that true men and women of God are crazy, are insane. In a world of insanity, when the whole globe is nothing but one gigantic lunatic asylum, the sane man, the man with sense, the man with wisdom, looks like he's the one that's crazy. So don't let that bother you at all. The Bible says few there are that will find the way. So we're not discouraged at all over this. But your purpose is still there. If a man rejects the truth, you have done your job. It was President John Quincy Adams, a Christian, who was asked why he fought the Masonic Lodge and its lies so much. Don't you know you can't overcome the wicked and powerful men of the lodge, he was told? Why? John Quincy Adams looked at his friend like he was out of his mind. He says, don't you understand? Duty is mine. Consequences are God's. It's not my duty to change the hearts of these men. It's only my duty to tell them the truth. And God then takes care of the consequences. But I must do my duty. A lot of people go through this world and they conclude at the end of it, I've been a failure. I've been a big failure. They have no idea, though. One of the one of the reasons for preaching is to bring judgment. Bring judgment. For every man must decide for himself. And then each of us will be judged. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, it is appointed for a man once to die, afterward the judgment. How many times? Once. Are you going to come back as a ghost? Are you going to be reincarnated over and over? Do you get it right? Well, the Bible says one time. You die one time. There is a second death, though. For all of those who are doomed to perdition, who reject the truth, will be punished by the second death. We won't talk about that today. A lot of people, you know, are very confused about the meaning of that, but it is there in the book of Revelation. Some will even have their names blotted out of the book of life. Now, I know you've been told that once your name's in the book of life, it cannot be blotted out, but I am here to tell you, you are wrong. I'm not going to debate eternal security with you, but we'll talk about it at some other time. It's a great topic to talk about, and an important one, but I want you to know something, dear friends. There is a book of life, and you can be blotted out of it. But the overcomer will continue to have his name in the book of life. One way you can have it blotted out is to try to change God's word. Oh, I believe there's going to be many thousands who, with these new Bible versions, have attempted to change and delete and add to God's word. And God said he will send all the plagues that are listed in the book of prophecy. That is Revelation. That's right. All the plagues will be visited on the man or woman who attempts to add or subtract even one tiny iota of God's word. At the same time, their name will be blotted out of the book of life. You say, well, God would never do that. Well, friends, please be very careful before you call God a liar, because he said in his word, he would blot out of the book of life anyone's name if that person attempts to change, to add or subtract from his prophetic word. Now let's look a little bit at prophecy today and see what he says about Gog and Magog. And we're going to see how this relates to George W. Bush. At least it does if the Jewish rabbis today are correct. Because as you will learn and discover on this program today, the chief rabbis of planet Earth recently honored George W. Bush, the president of the United States, the leader of the West, honored him as the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, who is none other than Gog, according to Bible prophecy. Now, let me specify to you. I am not saying George Bush is Gog, this devil man, but the rabbis say so, and to them it is a great honor to be named as such. Now, isn't that a mystery? But that's Texmar's job, to reveal, to unravel mysteries. That's why I was placed on this earth. I don't know how many years I'm going to live. I don't know what's going to happen to me in the end, and I don't care. You see, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. This last week, I was laying in bed, Juan and I had gotten in bed, and I had a terrific pain across my chest and my back, my heart. I was right on the verge of phoning 911, having wanted to do so. But I hate doctors and hospitals, so I was just laying there in terrific pain. And Wanda said, "Let me call the ambulance." I said, no. And then she got a little mad at me. She said, "Listen, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die." And I just looked at her and I said, "Sweetheart, I am ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to being with the Lord Jesus. I'm not scared at all." See, a lot of people would be really scared with a pain like that in their chest. I told her, I'm not scared at all. I'm ready to go. But she protested. Wanda says, "Well, what about me? Look at everything you're leaving me to do." You know, you leave me the paperwork. Plus all the misery and all those things. Well, okay, all right. That's not fair for the husband to leave before the wife, maybe, and leave all the affairs at hand and such. All right. You know, all the business affairs and the paperwork, let's just call it. That was true. She sort of got me on that one. But as far as death itself, it holds no mystery for me. It holds no fear for me. In the book of Revelation, there's a number of kinds of people that will be thrown into the lake of fire, cast down into damnation, and leading the pack are the fearful and the unbelieving. The fearful and the unbelieving lead the pack. No Christian can be fearful of anything, even death, because we have overconquered death. We've overdone, it's done with. Jesus conquered death for us. He tasted death, but he lives. Now, in the book of Revelation 20, verses 7 and 8 is a fantastic revelation. It talks about the 1,000 years when when they're expired, and Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Did you know that Satan is bound as to what he can do? But at a certain time, he is loosed out of his prison. It says in Revelation 20 there, and he, that is Satan, shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Gog and Magog controls all of the nations of earth. The four corners of the earth are named Gog and Magog. They're under the power of this Gog and Magog. Their number is as the sand of the sea. And Satan is truly the leader behind the scenes, and it is he that goes out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth. Wow. The Gog. Let's learn more about this Gog. And remember, I just told you, and I'm going to prove to you, that the chief rabbis of Israel have named our president as Gog. But to them, as evil as he is, as inspired and full of Satan as the Bible says this Gog is, this world leader, they are honoring him. How can the Jews of the refounded nation of Israel honor Gog? Ezekiel said a lot about Gog in his prophecies, chapters 38 and 39. Let me read to you what it says in Ezekiel 38. The prophet there wrote, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." Now, friends, in these three little verses here, you will find three little words. And they are all the same word, against. God wants his prophet to be against Gog. Set thy face against Gog, he tells Ezekiel, and prophesy against him. You be against him and you prophesy against him. And what in your prophecy will you proclaim to this Gog? That thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee. Three against the prophet, the prophecy, and God himself is against Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. We must be an evil man. For the prophecies, the prophet, and God himself to declare, I'm against thee. Man, how would you like to be Gog? How would you like the very prophet of God, the prophecies of God, and the person of God to be against you? And to declare it to the whole world through his word that eternally it's there. You can't blot it out. You can't take out one little iota of this, the Bible says, or you'll receive all the plagues of Revelation. Now, men can honor Gog all they want to, but it's not going to change his fate, his destiny. The rabbis can say, do it our way, Gog, and you will be honored. And I'll show you that they've already told George Bush that when he was in Israel in January. Do it the way we want. Give us what we want here in Israel. Give us the land, etc., and you will be honored, O chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. They're saying, do what we want. Give us our possession. Give us our land. give us our material kingdom, and you shall be honored, O Gog. But God said, I'm against you. Now, friends, I'd rather have God, G-O-D, the Lord, on my side than all the men of this world. There's 6 billion people. I'd rather have Jesus Christ to favor me and those 6 billion to be opposed to me, against me, than to reverse it and have God against me and the whole world say, we love you and admire you, Tex Morris. Now, when God is against somebody, something is going to happen to them. They're not going to get off scot-free. I don't know when, because in this life or the next, when they go into judgment, something very bad's going to happen to them. You don't want to be in that position as Gog is here. Ezekiel 39 verse 6 says, and I, this is still the Lord God speaking, and I will send a fire on Magog. Remember now, Gog is from the land of Magog. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. I-S-L-E-S. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 39:11 has something even more poignant and powerful to say. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel. He'll get his portion all right. The grave, death. And as far as his land, Magog, remember what Gog and Magog is, the four corners of the earth, all of the nations that have rejected God. God says, as far as Magog goes, I will send a fire on it. And among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Let's assume for a minute, dear friends, that Magog are the English-speaking countries, America, Britain, with their allies, of course, in Europe, Asia, elsewhere. America is, in essence, an island cast between the Pacific and Atlantic oceans, the Isles. Britain is certainly the Isles. It's even called the British Isles, made up, of course, of Wales and England and Scotland, and then you have Ireland next door and so forth. You have the Isles, the British Isles. Isn't it interesting that God said he will send a fire on Magog? A fire. And upon them that dwell carelessly, and do we not? Hey, we are the ones that go punish the rest of the world. We're the ones that send troops that have military forces in about 132 nations around the world. But as far as the Americans and the British, we live carelessly. What's more important to us than Dancing with the Stars or American Idol or our football or our basketball or our Saturdays at the beach or our barbecue grill or our sitcoms or our pornographic materials on the internet or whatever we do? We dwell carelessly in the aisles. There's no seriousness here. If Americans were serious, why, we wouldn't vote into office the depraved, debauched people that we do. We're not serious people. Why, the celebrities in the Hollywood crowd get more press than men who do great and wonderful humanitarian things. We're more interested in Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan and I don't know who all else, Brad Pitt and Angelina or Jolie and all this, than we are serious people. We dwell carelessly. We live reckless lives. But someday, God will send a fire. And we then will know He is the Lord. Because He is against Gog and all the people that are with him. Now, I was doing some research for my upcoming book, Mysterious Monuments, and it looks like it's going to be out around the first week of June. We're working very hard on it here in the ministry. It's going to be a huge book, almost, well, over 600 pages, as big as Codex Magica. You know, go to a huge city like Cleveland or Philadelphia or New York, and the size of the phone book there is going to be about the size of this book. But I came upon some interesting monuments in Great Britain I wanted to tell you about. Very interesting. I discovered that City Hall in the city of London, at the very center of the city now, the focal point of the financial markets in the city, is a place called Guild Hall. It's the City Hall. Just like if you went to New York, there's a City Hall. It's a huge, ornate building. And inside, interestingly, they have a big meeting hall. It's sort of like a sanctuary or a church, but they don't care too much about church these days in Great Britain. And there are places to sit, pews and all that, and there's a looks like a big podium or a lectern. And I understand that when the new Lord Mayor of London is voted in, you know, he goes in there and they have almost like a coronation ceremony for the Lord Mayor of London. And it's decorated with two great statues. I call them idols. I was curious to know what kind of statues would be in the city of London. After all, America protruded, did it not? Came from Great Britain. Oh, there were some other countries, Germany and others. We even had some Romanians. And, of course, the Native American Indians were already here. And then we had some Frenchmen and so forth, but a lot of Spaniards. But in essence, it was the English Empire, the British Empire. King George was our king until we broke away, had a revolution, overthrew the British, set up our own constitution, and so forth eventually. So we go back to the mother country. We're the young lion, you see, and they're the great lion. The lion has always been one of the symbols of the British Empire. And I wanted to see in their city of London, what idols would they have? What statues would be in Guild Hall, the very center of the British Empire? And when I discovered what they were, I was amazed for a little while until I got my Bible out again and began to study and began to realize the astonishing truth. You see, dear friends, and you can study this for yourself and see if I'm not telling you the truth. I would not dare to lie about such things on a day like today when I'm discussing with you the great prophecies of the Bible. This is not a day to say anything but 100% unvarnished truth. The statues are of none other than Gog and Magog, two great giants or beasts that were celebrated in British lore and legend as the champions of London and the British Isles. Gog and Magog, the statues, the idols, are literally housed in Guild Hall, in the capital of Great Britain, the mother country of the United States of America. And we'll tell you more when we return in just a moment. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. It's great being with you. Stay with us. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. I'd like to tell you about two items that we're offering here in the ministry that I think are so vitally important. The first is the over 2 hours long factual documented video. It's on in DVD format. Alex Jones production and one of his very best. It's entitled End Game. End Game. And in it he proves, well, let me just put it bluntly, They want you and me dead. They want most of the world demolished, destroyed. They want us dead. They want blood, which is not surprising because in the book of Proverbs, God says, all they who hate me love death. End game shows you in their own words, in their own plans, the Illuminati elite of the world want most of us dead. And they have designed a plan to accomplish that. It sounds amazing. Why would they want the vast majority of the world's 6 billion inhabitants? Why would they want us dead? Well, they do need a certain number of slaves, of peons, to run their world and their plantations for them. But beyond that, we're just pesky people who get in the way. They want us dead. End game. $25. It's well over 2 hours long, and you won't regret it. Another item I'd like to offer you today is the book, The Golem, G-O-L-E-M. The Beast Nuclear Arsenal Accumulated by Israel and Their Plans to Use It, by Michael Collins Piper. Tremendous book, around 200 pages in length. One of the most important books written in the last decade. The Golem by Michael Collins Piper. $25. And then there's the DVD video, produced by my good friend Alex Jones. Michael Collins Piper, of course, is also my good friend. So I have two friends work out these products. But The Golem, $25, and Endgame, $25. How to get these? Well, call us toll-free here on our phone in the United States and Canada. Our toll-free number is 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Of course, you can write to us. Please add $4 shipping and handling for each item. That's $29 for either one of these items, the Golem book or Endgame DVD. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. And as always, you can go on our website, powerofprophecy.com, and order the book and get the video, or you can go on conspiracyworld.com. And I believe you will be blessed by these products. And any small profit that we get from the sale of these books and DVDs goes right back into the ministry, and we're going to be here till Jesus comes. Or until he says close down. And he hadn't said it. So we've been here. Jerry, we've been here what now? Over 20 years. Let's see. It's, 21 years now. 21 years we've been of service in God's vineyard. And we're going to keep there picking those grapes and making the wine of truth until he comes. Now let's return to our regular program. You're listening again now to Tex Mars, Power of Prophecy Ministries, and we're discussing Gog, Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and the end of all things. And, of course, George W. Bush and the Jewish rabbis on the way. We've got a lot of agenda here to talk about. I have the Bible in front of me. Ezekiel 38 is just amazing. I hope you'll read it for yourself. I don't have time to go over the whole two chapters in the book of Ezekiel in the Bible, but I'm telling you, it's an incredible thing. Chapter 38 says of Gog that he is the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And God says that he actually says, this is what I'm going to do and say to Gog. Verse 4 of chapter 38 says, I will turn thee back. He's been there before. And put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth. And he says, you know, with all of your armies, all of your military, I'll bring you to Israel. If you don't want to come, well, I'll put a hook in your jaw and make you come. Verse 5 says, not only you, but Persia, that's Iran, Ethiopia, there we have Northern Africa, Libya, there we have old Muammar Gaddafi and the Libyans, also North Africa, and all of them. Verse 6 says, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah and all his bands, and many people with thee. Wow. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. In the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land against the mountains of Israel. Wow. It'll happen when this Israel has been brought forth out of the nations. In other words, from waste, from the nations, it'll be brought back, and it has been. And they shall dwell safely, all of them. Well, they really are. You say, no, they're not. There's a little bit of terrorism there. Every once in a while, a rocket lands, or there's a terrorist attack killing a few people. That's true. But hey, that's true anywhere. I mean, I could get killed riding my bicycle this afternoon or something. Well, not really. I don't really ride a bicycle, but if I did, I could. But basically, they're living safe there. They've got their nuclear arsenal. They've got their great military. And they're the marauders. They're the ones that are making the trouble in the Middle East. Israel. They're the ones that are going into Gaza and killing people. They're living safely. Hey, just, if you don't believe me, visit Israel and go to the beach and see all the girls with their bikinis laying around the beach. And go to the nightclubs in Tel Aviv and Haifa, and watch what's going on there. I haven't been there, but I sure have heard tales about it. There's more sex and degradation and pornography and evil going on in the nation of Israel than on any other nation on this planet. They're living safely. But wait, comes along Gog of the land of Magog. Verse 10 says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, to take a spoil, verse 12 says, and to take a prey. Wow. Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up. Wow. And it shall come to pass at the same time, verse 18, I'm skipping a little bit, I want to get to the end here. When Gog shall come up against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. God's furious. He's come there to take a spoil. He leads the nations of the world. And there he is. And not only him, but Iran and Ethiopia and Libya. And what about this Gomer and Togarmah of the North Quarters? Well, I did a lot of research on that. Genesis chapter 10 talks about the son of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Medai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech. Noah's son was Japheth, and Japheth had sons. And then, of course, they had sons. So these are the people that came out of those. Get an old map, the time of biblical Israel, and you'll see the land of Gomer and some of these other places. Then, of course, even the lost tribes of Israel migrated somewhere, we don't know where, but many people believe it's Europe, and then the British Isles, and then the United States. Then the Khazarian Jews, of course, came from really Turkish Mongol stock, but the land of Khazaria converted to Judaism, and then they went, these people who were Jews, but not really of Jewish bloodlines, went into Europe, into Hungary and Poland and France and Germany and so forth, and then they went over to Great Britain and the United States, among whom are the Rothschilds and others. And thus we have in the book of Revelation some amazing warnings about them which say they are Jews and are not, and are of the synagogue of Satan. They say they're Jews, but they're not. They're of Gomer. They're of Tubal. They're of Meshach. They're of Togarmah. They're of Khazaria, but they say we're Jews. Oh, yes. But the Bible says they say they're Jews, but they're not. But they are of the synagogue of Satan. They're blasphemers. They're murderers. And they especially hate Christians. Read it in Revelation 2, verse 9, and Revelation 3, verse 9. It's not the Muslim that God warns about. It's the synagogue of Satan. Well, why is this? Why is it the synagogue of Satan? Let me clue you in on something, dear friends. Because the religion of Judaism is a religion of Satan himself. It's made up of the Jewish rabbis who practiced the Kabbalah, a system of magic and sorcery. And they have made of their traditions a holy book, the Halakha, that's really the Jewish Talmud. It's an evil holy book. The Old Testament is second class to these rabbis. They love the sorcery and the magic of the Kabbalah. They love the glorification of the Jews and their human race. They believe they are collectively gods on earth. And this is in their Talmud. They came, by the way, out of Babylon. The Babylonian Talmud and the rabbis today glorify and venerate this Babylonian holy system while rejecting the Old Testament and the laws of Moses and the prophets, and certainly despising the truth of the New Testament and the apostles of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I want you to understand then we have this system of evil of the Jews, this synagogue of Satan. They're not true Jews. If they were true Jews, they would believe in their Messiah, Jesus Christ. All true Jews will believe in Jesus. But them which say they are Jews and are not and are of the synagogue of Satan will despise and hate and persecute Jesus and his followers. Now, the Jews and the rabbis know very well about this Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. They know what his mission is, and they want it to be accomplished. Let me tell you why. Because God says of this Gog that he will attack in the Middle East. He will attack in Israel. Also attacking will be Persia or Iran and Ethiopia and Libya and Gomer and Togarmah and all of these other bands of people. And the Jewish rabbis today believe that the United States and its great military power, in combination with other Western powers such as France and Italy and Spain and certainly Great Britain and Germany, will all come together as a great union or combination of forces into the Middle East to take a spoil. What do they want? What kind of a prey? What kind of a spoil? It's called oil. Petroleum. There's a reason why God put so much petroleum and oil in the Middle East. Because he wanted Gog to go and get it in the last days. Gog's got to have it. It fuels the world. It makes him rich. He sells it to China, to Indonesia, to India, to Japan, and to his own countrymen. And he makes trillions of dollars from this black gold. And he wants it. And not only that, he not only wants in the Middle East and Israel, but he wants down into Africa, where Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish are. It's they that cry out, are you come to take a spoil? Why? Because they have the silver and the gold. Who has the gold? South Africa. Who has diamonds? South Africa. Who has oil in Africa, Nigeria, and many other countries? Why do you think President Clinton, right before he left office, went to visit Africa? Why do you think George Bush recently went to Africa and did a little tap dancing with the dancing girls there among the tribes? Was seen on TV. Africa, we want it. It's got natural resources. Send AIDS and kill a bunch of the blacks there. Depopulate the continent and take it. Recolonialize it. Of course, we can let the black man still stay in power as our slaves, but he will have to bow down to us when we come in and say, yes, Bwana. Oh, I'm not sure Barack Obama's pastor was too far off from the truth when he said what he did. He just used a few words he shouldn't have there, perhaps. In any case, Gog comes in and invades. He wants Africa. He wants the Middle East. And Israel is just an instrument to set up a world empire. But the Jews say, wait, we want that world empire. It's ours. It's not America's. It's not Great Britain's. It's ours. We are the holy people. We are the God people. We are the chosen people. We are the kingdom. It's ours. You, Gog, are just doing God's will. Now, when George Bush visited Israel, I want to tell you about something he was given. He was given a scroll. It was called the Scroll of Bush. So, Tex, I've never heard such a thing. No, they don't tell you that in American television and news media. But it was in the Israeli media. It was in the newspapers of Israel and on television there that while he was there, and he visited Jerusalem, by the way, for 8 days, he arrived January the 9th, 2008. January the 9th, 2008. George W. Bush arrived in Jerusalem. And during his stay there, not only was he able to see the Prime Minister Olmert, the Defense Minister, and perhaps work out the details of the great coming war when we will attack Syria and we will attack Iran. Oh, yes, it's coming up, dear friends. And we will attack certain nations in Africa, such as the Sudan and others, and secure Africa. That's why we have an African command now in the military. Don't think for a moment that it's there just by name only. But the Jews got together, the chief Jews of all of the world, of all of the Jews throughout the world, there are three that are chief. Not even the Prime Minister of Israel has the spiritual power and influence of these three. I want to tell you about these three men. Because they put their signatures on a scroll, and it was made of ancient parchment. They call this scroll, and the Hebrew name of it is Megillat, M-E-G-I-L-L-A-T. So they call it the Megillat of Bush, the Scroll of Bush. I recommend you go to the internet and Google up Scroll of Bush. And you'll find it. You'll see I'm telling you the truth. This was a very historic event that occurred in Jerusalem, an event chronicled widely in America's newspapers, but hidden, omitted entirely by America's Zionist-controlled press. They didn't want you to know that they were giving honor to Bush in this scroll. Now, Bush went to the Middle East to consult with his Zionist superiors. That's the truth. The Zionist rabbinical overlords were going to tell him what to do. And when he arrived, they gave him a scroll the scroll of Bush on ancient parchment. It was written by the rabbis. It wasn't typed. Oh, it was written beautifully in hand. And it was signed by three men, Rabbi Adan Ivan Yisrael Steinsaltz. You'll find him on the web. His address is just Adan. That's A-D-A-N. Sort of significant there. Adan Steinsaltz. He is the high priest of the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin is the same body, the same council that sentenced Jesus Christ to death to go to the cross. Now, I want to tell you something that's amazing. It's only been in the last 5 years or so, the ancient Sanhedrin of old has been reconstituted and set up once again. Rabbi Steinsaltz is the high priest of the Sanhedrin. They determine all Judaic law for the whole world. They determine the future of this Sanhedrin. Now, the scroll of Bush was also signed by Rabbi Chaim Reichman, chief rabbi of the Holy Temple. What Holy Temple? The one they're planning to rebuild. As a matter of fact, go and look up Holy Temple Movement on the internet, Google it up, and you will even see they have the crown. The crown they're going to give their new King David. Not Jesus, but the Antichrist. They're going to call him their new King David. They literally have the crown. It's on the internet. They have a picture of it. It's a crown made of gold to be placed on the head of the high priest, the new Tzitz. It's called T-Z-I-T-Z. Pure gold. They have the holy linens all ready to go, all the vestments. Everything is ready to go, but first, of course, they've got to destroy the Mosque of Omar, the great Golden Dome Islamic Mosque. It will go. And the Temple Institute and Rabbi Chaim Reichman, the chief rabbi of the Holy Temple and the Temple Movement, signed this document. And the third person to sign it was Dr. Gadi Shel, that's S-C-H-E-L, chief representative of the new Jewish Congress, representing the people. Rabbi Steinsaltz, representing the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Reichman, representing the Holy Temple that's to be rebuilt. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Antichrist will go in and declare that he's God, and they will place a golden crown on his head. The seats. And then there's Dr. Shell, the chief representative of the new Jewish Congress, representing the Jewish people who are gods on earth. The scroll of Bush, I found a copy of it pictured on the web. And in my newsletter next week, late next week, I'm going to have a newsletter, a feature article, and it's going to be sent out to everybody who gets our newsletter by mail, but it'll also be on the internet. And you'll see this scroll. Now, the scroll pompously claims to be promulgated, quote, in the name of the Lord Eternal God. Of course, that's an impossibility because Jesus Christ is the Lord Eternal God, and the Jews hate and despise Jesus and have branded him in their Talmud as an illegitimate bastard and blasphemer, and his mother they call an unholy whore, and that is in their holy law, the Talmud. If that be so, then the scroll could not be written in the name of the Lord Eternal God, but in the name of Satan or Lucifer, their God of Judaism. The scroll addresses George Bush. First, it calls him the Honorable Mr. George W. Bush, President of the United States of America. The Honorable George W. Bush, President of the United States of America. Then, however, in a shocking and prophetic manner, the scroll of Bush, a document reflecting the entire Jewish nation, both in Israel and Jews dispersed throughout the world, a document composed and authenticated by the highest religious rabbis on this planet, addressed Bush by yet another title. I quote, esteemed Mr. George W. Bush, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, Ezekiel 38:1, leader of the world. Huh? Say what? You're kidding me, Tex Mars. I'm telling you, that the high priest of the Sanhedrin, by the way, Mr. Steinsaltz, was called by Time magazine the Jewish scholar of the millennium. There have only been three great scholars like this in the history of Israel. There was Hillel, and then there was Maimonides, and now there is Steinsaltz. He just put out a new edition of the Talmud in English, the first one in like 150 years. Steinsaltz, he's the high priest of the Sanhedrin, this rabbi, and he and the head of the chief rabbi of the temple they're going to build on the Temple Mountain there. And then there's the head of the new Jewish Congress, and they're calling Mr. Bush the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And who is that? Well, they themselves put in their document, the scroll of Bush, Ezekiel 38:1. They want to make sure you know who they're identifying. Leader, and then they call him leader of the West. Is that not an occult mystery that only God's people can understand? The President of the United States of America, the superpower who demands all the world come together in a new world order and says we will punish the few rogue nations that exist out there. He is the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. He is the leader Gog of the land of Magog, the four corners of the earth, the whole all of the nations on earth. And he is planning to attack and invade, and if he doesn't do it, the next president will. But the Jews, they know their Gog, if I can say so. They may not know Jesus, but they know their Gog. And they know their chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And there it is. And by the way, I don't have much more time on this program, but I want you to know in this, in the scroll of Bush, they tell him, be very careful, Gog. And I'm paraphrasing again. Be very careful, chief prince. You must give us every inch of land. The Palestinians will get nothing. If you do, if you honor us by giving us everything we want, then God will honor you. But if you don't, he will punish you. He will punish you. Oh, yes. There's a threat there. There's a demand that George Bush give them everything to which they believe they're entitled. Now, let me tell you why they're doing this. You see, in the Kabbalah, the Jewish rabbis believe this planet is to be destroyed entirely by fire, by nuclear weapons. And the United States and Britain will go too. And only the worthy, deserving Jews will be left. And then they will build a new kingdom on earth. They even have a name for this revised world. They call it Tikkun Olam. The mending or healing, rebuilding of the world. Tikkun Olam. They will survive. We will all die. That is the end game. And that is the reason for the scroll of Bush. And they are telling Bush, do it. Kill everybody. Unleash the nuclear bombs. Kill the Muslims. War, war, war. World, die, 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 so the Jews can have their kingdom. And our king shall have his golden crown in a new temple in Jerusalem, the capital of the world. That is prophecy. That is Gog. And this is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in next week during the same time. And each week here on Worldwide Christian Radio, beaming also by internet across the world from powerofprophecy.com, tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.